way you can do it that could be very harming and damaging, but we do need to be made aware of. You know, years ago, the way, you know, when there was no radio and TV, the way people got their information was from pulpits. That's how information and things that really went out about what was going on. And I want to read just a little bit of just a couple things from history. And I want to read the first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. And then we'll kind of go from there. So this is going to be a little bit different this morning. And I'm going to kind of tie some of this in with what we've been talking about the last couple weeks of having a church mindset versus a kingdom mindset. During the American Revolution, the legal separation of the 13 colonies from Great Britain occurred on July 2nd, 1776, when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence that has been proposed in June by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, declaring the United States independent from Great Britain. After voting for independence, Congress turned its attention to the Declaration of Independence, a statement explaining this decision, which had been prepared by a committee of five with Thomas Jefferson as its principal author. Congress debated and revised the declaration and approved it on July 4th, and that is what we celebrate today. A day later, John Adams had written to his wife Abigail, and here's what he said. The second day of July, he just missed it by 2 days, but the second day was actually the legal separation. The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore. He was pretty right, pretty prophetic. The Declaration of Independence laid out for the very first time basic principles for our nation, for freedom and for liberty. I'm going to just read, like I said, just the first paragraph of the Declaration, and then there's something in it I want to highlight. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariable the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. The more things change, the more they kind of come around in circles. As we have discussed, the ecclesia, and we have a banner hanging here, it is a governmental body. That is the word that Jesus used when he talked about what he was going to build, what he was going to establish. He didn't use a word church, he used the word ecclesia, and it is governmental. The United States of America, our government is really patterned off of the biblical pattern of the government of the kingdom of God on earth. It has three branches of government, an executive branch, a judicial branch, and a legislative branch, which all represent or have an illustration of the triune being of God. The executive branch being the King of Kings, Lord Jesus Christ. The judicial branch, which God the Father is the supreme judge of all. The legislative branch is the Holy Spirit in us with the Holy Spirit legislating God's will on the earth. So the United States really has the only form of government of any nation that's actually patterned after a biblical form, besides Israel. It has a biblical form of government that is really the government of the kingdom of God, which is the ecclesia on earth. As I'm sure most of you are aware, there is an all-out spiritual attack on our nation, specifically to destroy the Constitution, which is the laws by which we govern ourselves, of our nation. Notice that in the Declaration of Independence, that it says that our Creator has given us, endowed us, with certain unalienable rights. Where do the rights come from? They come from God. Our founder said we have certain rights and they come from God, they don't come from men. And they named three of them specifically: life, liberty, and not happiness, but the freedom to pursue happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, liberty does you no good if you're dead. So these are in order. Our government some years ago has trampled the right of life in our nation. After the vote of the Supreme Court on Thursday, my opinion is they have now, the Supreme Court, trampled on the Constitution, and all three branches of our government have trampled, ignored. Not one of them have now are defending it, nor supporting the Constitution of the United States. We are, folks, we're in grave danger as a nation. I don't know how much you know about what the Supreme Court did. What was very ironic is the Chief Justice, that is a conservative Chief Justice, has voted along with the liberal judges. They, in essence, said this: the Obama law, Obama health care law, is not a law under the Commerce Clause, so you can't force people to buy it, but it is now under the tax provision, which you can legally, by Constitution now, tax people. And here's the kicker. The government now has the authority to tax us for things we do not purchase. That would be like going to Walmart, looking at a pair of jeans, and deciding not to buy them, and walking out and saying, "Just a minute, sir, since you didn't buy it, you're going to be taxed on it." This is like completely unbelievable. The amount of deception and evil. This now has set a precedent that there is no turning back from. Because the Supreme Court is the last protection of the Constitution in our government. And when they say the government has the right to tax us on whatever they want, because that's really what they did, they can tax us on anything. Now notice also what the Declaration says here. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, destructive of what ends? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. And to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form. I mean, that sounds pretty radical, doesn't it? I'm just going to bluntly say this. We are in this predicament in our nation because of us. It is our fault. It is the body of Christ's fault. There's one way and one way only to dispel darkness. Does anybody know what that one way is? Exactly, it's light. Darkness really isn't a creation. Light is. Light doesn't overpower the sun. When the sun comes, light's dispelled. And who's the light of the world? That's a partial truth, what I just heard. Jesus is the light of the world, but then Jesus told us, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. That's in Matthew chapter 5, I believe. Matthew chapter 6, he said this, if the light that is in you becomes darkness, how great is the darkness? In other words, the world, our country, is depending on us, on the body of Christ. Can I just be so bold to say this as well? Do not put your hope in the election that's coming up. It's not going to be enough. We're going to have to wake up, we are going to have to pray, and we're going to have to take some form of action. And hearing what God's will is. Because think about it, all three branches of our government now have blatantly, publicly been walking and trampling on our Constitution. We are in grave, grave danger here in this nation. I want to read to you the oath that is taken by our president and by many in our government. I, who whatever their name is, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, from outside the country and from within the country. This is the oath that is taken by our elected officials. And I'm not going to read the rest of it. Every sphere of our society, and I'm talking about specifically the United States, is suffering from a lack of true leadership. In our government and every one of the seven mountains of society, in the body of Christ, in the home, in media, in entertainment, in government, is suffering from a lack of leadership. I think of, and I have here, we typically, I don't know if it's even in the bulletin, we typically put this in the bulletin every 4th of July, just about some of the men and what they actually endured during the American Revolution, the lives that were lost for the ideal of freedom and liberty in America. Where are these people today that lost their lives, lost their homes, lost their businesses? Our founding fathers wrote in their personal letters and memoirs that they knew this government and our freedoms would not survive if two things happened. If we did not remain a moral, religious, God-fearing nation, and number two, if the people started to vote for themselves the resources of the treasury, which both has happened today. And again, much of what is happening in our country has really already happened in the body of Christ. Where's the true leaders? We've got denominations that say homosexuality is okay, ordaining homosexualities. They have actually trampled. Do you know what the constitution of the body of Christ is, the kingdom of God on earth is? It's the word of God. More specifically, it's the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the constitution of the kingdom of God on earth. And even the body of Christ has trampled on it. We're in a severe state here. Jeremiah 29:7 says this. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you to exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. And there's so many people in the body of Christ that don't really care about society. They don't care about the city. They don't care about the nation. And I used to be one of them, thinking that it's going to hell and it's just going to, you know, go wherever it wants to be. It's going to get darker and darker, but I'm okay because I'm in the church and I go to church on Sunday and I read my Bible and I pray and we're going to be fine. And Jesus is going to come back and straighten out all of this stuff. And that's the church mentality that I've been talking about. And it so contradicts the written word of God. If we have crime going rampant in our city, it's nobody's fault but ours. The body of Christ, because we are the light, we are the salt, or at least we're supposed to be. It's our prayerlessness. It's our concern. It's our lack of, it's our ignorance, really, of the word of God and the lack of who we are and what we are supposed to be doing in society and why we're still living here. I love this country. I love the kingdom of God on earth more. But I love this country. And I hate seeing what's happening to it. And what I really hate is the suffering that's going to happen to so many people. Do you have any idea this law and how it's the largest tax burden on the people ever? There are so many things in this 2,700-page law that they just deemed constitutional that is from the pit of hell. It is going to hurt and destroy bunches of people if this thing goes through. Romans 8, I'm not going to turn there, but it talks about the difference between having a mindset on the flesh and a mindset on the spirit. And the mindset on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. It's about our mindset. It's how do we think. When we become born again, we've got to retrain, we rethink, reform, we be transformed in the renewing of our minds on the word of God. And see things the way God sees them. I believe God loves this country. It was God that established this country. And it's obvious. You know, there are more inventions that happen from this nation than any other nation in the world all through history. This nation is more prosperous and has been more prosperous than any ever in history. It's amazing. And if you've traveled internationally, you'll see that. I mean, Europe, France, Britain, Germany are the next richest or next prosperous sets of country, and they don't compare at all to the United States. But what's happened is we have been so apathetic. We've gotten complacent first, we've gotten apathetic, thinking, oh, it's just going to happen. Oh, we're America. Everything's just going to work out somehow. And that mindset has creeped into the body of Christ. That God's just in control and he'll just do it and we just have to kind of go about our merry way. When the Bible is plain, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but he gave the earth to the sons of men. He gave authority to man right in the garden with Adam and Eve. And the decisions that we make and the things that we do. How many times have you had anybody ask you, how come there's so much death in the world? How come there's children that get abused? How come there's so much of this stuff? Next time, just say, it's partly my fault. Because that's the truth. It's not God's fault. He's given us the authority. He's given us his word. The only thing that expels darkness is light. There are 65 million evangelical Christians in the United States. When I say that, I mean, you know, mostly it's like 80-some percent now say, I'm a Christian. But 65 million people say they're evangelical Christian, which they'd identify them as being born again, lovers of Christ, which is much different than the definition of just being a Christian. Out of the 65 million evangelicals in the United States, only half of them are registered to vote. Only half, again, which is 25% of the 65 million people, actually do vote. Obama won by 10 million votes. A great quote by Edmund Burke, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. We have seen just in the last couple generations with children that their moms and dads has prospered. And they have grown with the mindset that they start life where mom and dad are. That everything should be handed to them. We have such an entitlement mentality in our nation. There's 48% of the people in our nation do not pay taxes. They're takers, they're not givers. I'm all for helping people that are poor and that are in need of help, that have health issues or whatever and can't work. I am all for that, and I believe the Lord is, God is. But to keep taking from the producers, to keep giving to the non-producers, is not kingdom. It's not kingdom mentality. What if our founding fathers and all of the men during the revolution did nothing? What if they stayed home? What if they said, I'm not going to fight. Let somebody else do it. What if that would have happened? We cannot, as a body of Christ, continue going the way we're going and expect it just to work out. It's not going to just work out. We're going to find ourselves in a form of bondage like we've never experienced before. Let me tell you, our form of government, especially with what the Supreme Court did, this is my opinion of what they did on Thursday, has opened wide a gate of hell to this nation like we have never seen before. Like I said earlier, there's a precedent that's been set now, and there's no turning back from that unless some things are radically changed. Not just some new justices, not just a new president. Look, we had an election a couple years ago in 2010, and so many of these brand new conservatives came into power. Let me just ask you a question. Where are they? What have they done? You don't hear them. There's nothing that's been done. It's the same stuff over and over and over. It's the body of Christ, the ecclesia, coming together and understanding who we are, what God has called us to be, to begin hearing what God is saying, to implement His will into the earth. That's what it's all about. And that's going to take some effort, and that's going to take some time, and that's going to take praying together. And then as well, in the same process, is a banding together with other denominations and other churches coming together in unity. Because where brothers dwell together in unity, Psalms 133 says, the Lord commands the blessing. There is a blessing just on unity. Just the fact of coming together in unity. Doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. Like I've said before, my wife and I don't even agree on everything theologically. But we're still to come together and to be as one. And we still can come together and be one. So I want to ask you a question this morning. I know it's hot, so I kind of went through this really, really fast. And I'm going to let you go home to your air-conditioning cars and air-conditioned houses. But what if we do nothing? What if we do nothing? Nothing means this. Come into church every Sunday, and we pray, we read our Bibles, and we go home, and we go to work, and we just keep doing the same thing we've always done. To me, that's doing really nothing. See, the body of Christ has been so busy doing programs and events and building bigger buildings and all of these things, and the whole time society keeps getting darker and worse. These laws keep coming into our nation, and it's really the minority that is doing this. It's not the majority. It's the reason why it's happening, because the majority are apathetic and complacent and aren't doing anything. So I'm just going to ask you to do this, to really seriously consider these things. Read that Constitution that we handed out today. Read that Declaration of Independence, what this great nation was established on. Seek who you are, who God has called you to be, because that'll help you to determine what your purpose is on this earth. And if we truly love this nation, are we just going to sit back and do nothing and just keep doing business as usual and expecting somebody else to do it or for it just to kind of work out somehow? I believe this. I believe God is really depending on us. We've turned it around a lot, and we do have to depend on God for everything. But He, in return, is also depending on us. What are we going to do about it? And I'm not just saying we just come up with some grand scheme or just some idea that sounds good that we all agree on and do it. No, that we come together and say, God, what are you speaking to us? What part are you having us? What part are you having on my family? What part are you having me? What part are you having our congregation to do or to say or to be? Whatever region that we're in. Is this making sense? So we can see change. We can see the kingdom. Jesus even told us how to pray that the kingdom of God would come and that His will would be done. And I know we always think that that's just some other time when Jesus comes back. No, God wants His will done now. He's always wanted His will done in the earth. Because true freedom, the release of hearts and individuals, is just releases our creation of who God created us to be. We can come into the fullness of who God's created us to be as individuals because of that freedom. Glory be to God. I'm going to read one more thing if that's okay. I mentioned earlier that the Obamacare health bill it's really a tax bill is really what it is. It's a huge, there's so many different taxes in this thing that's going to put our economy is not in a very good situation anyway. Did you know the IRS is hiring people? Anybody aware of that? They're hiring lots and lots of people. Have been. Let me read you something here. If I can find it. There is a release of an army of IRS agents on the American people. Now, this is history right here, what I'm about to say. When the Iron Curtain came down and Soviet files were exposed by Glasnost, American analysts were surprised to find out that the KGB had never viewed the CIA as their counterpart. They saw as the KGB saw as their counterpart the IRS. They understood that it was the IRS that could most easily and quickly control the American people. And what our Chief Justice did in the Supreme Court Thursday just confirmed the very fact. And the Declaration of Independence gives the people the right and the responsibility to change that form of government that becomes oppressive and a dictatorship. The kingdom of darkness and it's the kingdom of heaven. Those are the two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness doing everything they can to bring down the kingdom of light. It has manifested itself, the kingdom of darkness, over the years in different ways. Fascism, communism. Communism was in Marxism, socialism. One of the great ones today is Islam with their Sharia law, which is a perversion of the kingdom of God. To destroy America, you have to destroy the Constitution because that is the law by which it holds all of us together. Once the Constitution is destroyed, and this is the kingdom of darkness, this is their mandate. To destroy the Constitution, to actually destroy America. You destroy America, there's now no nation on earth that's really safe. And the one nation that the kingdom of darkness wants not safe is Israel. And it is my opinion and my belief that if they can bring America down, then Israel will be much more exposed and vulnerable. Here's the thing. There's only two nations in all of history that were actually established by God and on godly principles, and that's Israel and the United States. God has a plan. We have to hear what that plan is and begin to implement his plan, and that's really all that I'm talking about. It isn't just going to happen, but God's going to find somebody. He's going to have some group of people. He's going to have somebody that does it. And I want to be part of that because I want to see it turned around. And there's a great harvest that's awaiting at the same time, a great harvest of souls. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you all stand, please? Thank you. I know this was a little bit different of a meeting together, and I just really felt compelled to share at least some of those things, a little bit of the history and the celebration of the 4th of July, the Declaration of Independence, but mainly for us to really get the weight and the gravity of what those men, our forefathers, we are riding the blessing of what they fought for, what they died for, and what they did. And I want to continue that for the next generations, where Levi can live in a society that's free and he can have all the opportunities that we had, and Becca and all of our young people and the ones that are unborn and still in the womb, that they can enjoy the freedoms, the prosperity, and the blessing that we have experienced. And I believe it's possible because, again, I want to say this again, God has established this nation. I believe it. He established Israel. And he's got a plan. Because America has not fulfilled its complete destiny yet. It has not. God, we pray, we thank you, Father, that you're our God, our Lord, our Master. And God, we do want the right men and women in leadership. But Father, above all that, because your word says it doesn't matter. You can turn the heart of the king like channels of water. You can direct it any way you want to. We've seen it all through history with the pharaohs and other evil leaders, God, that you have come in. But you've risen up Josephs. And so, Father, we pray now. We prophesy that there be a Joseph generation that arises that would take control and authority, even if they don't step foot in the government, that they would take, by the ecclesia and the power of God Almost High, that they would take authority and they begin to rule and control and to release the kingdom into the cities and into the streets, into the regions, God, and that your blessing, Father, and favor would flow in this nation once again. And God, there would be a harvest and Father, multitudes. And we just call them in, that even prodigals, those that have been in the Father's house and that have strayed away, we say, come, come back, be tired of that pig pen and feeding on those pods, and come home and return to your Father in Jesus' mighty name. And we call those that have never known you, God, even in our neighborhoods, up and down our streets, Father, for the lonely, for those that are dazed, that are confused, Lord God, for the single people that are out there, Father, that and the ones that feel like they have no hope, Father, in this world, that Father, that we would say, God, we're here, send us, Lord God, send us, Lord, that there be revival in this city and in this nation, God, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen.